thank Brother Daniels for leading us in hymns on this afternoon. I want to welcome everyone to our worship service on this afternoon. Thankful to the brothers that participated thus far in offering of prayers to our Lord. Also, scripture reading and the one that led us through communion and offering on this afternoon. Again, I want to thank you for being with us, for marking this time to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, to hear another portion of God's word, as was in the song, we're living by faith, and faith comes from those things we find in the word of God. And as we see it in our prayer on today, regarding those that are not members of the Lord's church, I want you to know that the Bible teaches in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, Jeremiah realized that man was not to direct his spiritual walk when he said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, those steps being spiritual. And Jesus came on the scene with his Sermon on the Mount. Of those that would become Christians, he said in Matthew 6:33, he identified how life should be prioritized spiritually when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness or his righteousness. So one was to seek the kingdom of God. That's Matthew chapter 6, and the verse is number 33. And then when Jesus met with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that which one was to seek, Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a person be born again, and this is a spiritual birth, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And then when the church began in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 on the first worship services we're doing today, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This verse lets us know that those that should be saved are added to the church. As was said today in our prayers about those that if you want to become a Christian, it's my responsibility. As Brother Brooks said today, I want to be clean in the sense that I want to share with you what God has required for everyone that must do. And you'll find this in our lesson on this afternoon, what one must do in order to become a Christian, in order to become a child of God. You must understand, until you obey God, one is not a child of God until one is born. Just like someone may be pregnant, until that child is born, they are not a member of that family. In order to become a member of God's family, one must be born again according to what the Bible says. And what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, you have to be born again spiritually, and then you are added to the kingdom of God or the church. We want to continue with our lesson on this afternoon. I'm excited that we're closing on this letter that Peter wrote, his second letter, and from it, Peter offers his final thoughts regarding this, his second letter to the Christians, during his day. And so for a subject title on this afternoon, the final thoughts of Peter, Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. That's my subject this afternoon. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And those two things that one does, as we talked about on last week from verse 11, where we spoke from the thought that Peter said that knowing that verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he said, what manner of person ought you to be? And so we talked on last week about what kind of person ought you to be. If you're a Christian, what type of person you ought to be. And Peter talked about how that person that we ought to be is to be one that is holy in his behavior and godliness. So when we said when the Christian achieves godliness, then it influences how one behaves, which is your conversation, in all situations. When one has achieved godliness, when one is faithful in his living as a Christian, then what it does, it influences all of his behavior. So we want to pick up at verse 14. We ended with verse 13 last week, and we want to close out on Peter's letter as about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know, as I said, that the keynote that Peter uses in this letter was knowledge. Knowledge, and we'll talk about that. But he says in verse number 14, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you have looked for such things, he says, note now, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So Peter says, seeing that you look for such things, the promise of God, according, the Bible says in verse 13, according to his promise, you look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He said, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, he said, be diligent. And diligence here means to try very hard to achieve or to strive to be. He said, strive to be all that God will have us to be according to the word, which is godliness. He said that you may be found of him in peace. And peace has to do with having a pleasing relationship with God and with man. I'm looking forward to once our building, those that assemble with us at the Highland Heights congregation, I'm looking forward to those relationships being renewed again, that we can renew our relationship. We have one with God now, but we'll be able to renew our relationship with one another. And Peter says that relationship should be without spot and blameless. Without spot means free from uncleanness, and then blameless meaning without shame. So what Peter was saying in verse 14, that the Christian should work hard on trying to have good relationship, first with God, then with man, and stay away from bad things and live without shame in your life. He says, then an account or consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. And so Paul says about Peter, he says, understand this, that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. What do you mean by the long-suffering of our Lord? In other words, God is patiently enabling man to have an opportunity to come to repentance. In other words, God is being lenient. I heard in our prayer on today of those our family members, those our friends that have not become Christians yet. God is patiently enabling them the opportunity while the blood is still running warm in their veins to come to repentance. God is being lenient. Understand that God wants to, Peter says, that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. In other words, God wants to deliver everyone from the punishment of God. And that's what Peter said, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, verse number 9. So God wants everyone to be saved, and that's why God is being patient. He is suffering long, or being patient with us, allowing us to change, allowing those that have not obeyed the Lord to obey the Lord to become Christians before it becomes too late. And it's too late once you die to try to change. Yeah. No such thing in the Bible that Catholicism teaches about purgatory. There's no such thing. Whatever state we die in, and now we'll talk about the state that we can be in today as Christians. Peter talks about that. But again, want to encourage those that may be on the call this afternoon. Want to encourage you. We talked about last week trying to persuade you through the Word of God to become a Christian. A Christian. And Peter said that our own beloved brother Paul, and notice now, we find in the Bible, we don't see a good teaching point. We don't, even though Paul was an apostle, he was not referred to as Reverend Paul. He was not referred to as Father Paul. He was just as all of us are. You're either a brother or a sister when you obey the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. We use biblical titles to address one another. You see here in 2 Peter 3:15, he says, our beloved brother Paul. Well, if they are a sister in the Lord, what do we refer to them? What I just said in Romans 16 and the verses number 1, Paul in the letter to the Romans said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Centria. So Paul here says, Phoebe is our sister. Paul is our brother. And that's why in the Church of Christ, we're simply known as brother or sisters in the church. Now, we have those that have positions in the church, those that may serve as elders, those that may serve as deacons, those that may serve as the preacher in the church. We are still, they are addressed as brother and sister. That's what we find in the Bible. And so Peter says about Paul and his wisdom has given unto us those same writings about God and salvation. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in Paul's writing to Christians about salvation, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and the verse is number 13. Paul wrote to them, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. He said, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you, notice now, to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. How does a person achieve salvation? Is through the sanctification of being separated by the Holy Spirit and the belief of the truth. He said, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we find here, how does one become a Christian? He is called. The word call here means invited. He invites us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That message that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried in a tomb, he suffered on the cross, and he rose the third day. That's the gospel invitation that one, Paul talked about that, that one must obey in order to become a Christian. One must obey the gospel of Christ to have an opportunity to receive the salvation that is through Christ. One must obey that gospel. And that's why we have family members and friends. We try to encourage them, try to teach them the gospel. But however, they must understand the teaching and desire to obey the gospel. We'll talk about notice what Peter said about some. He says in verse 16, as also as in all epistles, speaking in them of these things, and I just showed you. He said, which? He says, are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, he said, rest or wrestle as they do other scriptures until they own destruction. So Peter here now identifies, and we may have those, our loved ones, our friends. You know, when we try to teach them things, something Peter said that they are hard to be understood. In other words, the word understood means to grasp and understand it with your mind. Some things are hard, but salvation is not hard. All you have to do is render obedience to the things that are written in the Word of God. It's not that hard to understand salvational things. There are things in the Bible that are difficult, but when I go to Mark chapter 16, and the verse is number 15, where Jesus, talking to his disciples, he says to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. As simple as that. Someone preach to you or teach you the gospel, you believe it, and then you're baptized, the Lord adds you to the church. That's not difficult. That's not difficult. Then he says, back in Peter's letter, he says, with they that are unlearned, you have those that have not studied the Bible. You know, and sometimes, I don't say it amazes me because it's in the scriptures, but you have people that have not studied the Bible, do not read the Bible, don't study the Bible, but they want to answer questions from the Bible. There are some people that don't even know, as I talked about previously in my lesson, that there are 66 books in the Bible. Don't know the number of Old nor New Testament writing, and not have an understanding of how the Bible is divided up. You have two testaments, but you have three periods in the Bible. There is no salvation for us in the New Testament that live in these times. There's no salvation for us in the Old Testament. In the patriarchal day, everyone that did not get into that ark, that God, notice, God gave instruction. If they wasn't obedient to the preaching of Noah and got in the ark, all of them was lost. They were lost. In a Mosaic period, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, those that were not, did not come through the Red Sea unto baptized unto Moses, those people were destroyed. And so you find in the Bible, again, Peter said, going back to the letter, Peter says that those also that are unlearned, meaning having very spiritual knowledge, and unstable, not standing firm on the Word of God. He said they twist the scriptures as they do other scriptures unto their own destruction or their own spiritual ruin. In other words, there are people, well, I don't believe you have to be baptized. I don't think you can be saved without being baptized. Well, you're twisting scripture. This is who Peter is talking about. Some will twist scripture from the intended purpose to satisfy themselves religiously. You know, most people want to be right religiously. And so we'll take scripture and we'll bend scripture or we'll twist scripture to our own liking so we can live the type of life that we want to live, one that's not according to scripture. But you have to live according to the Bible. And Peter identifies them. They're unlearned and they're unstable. He said, ye therefore, verse 17, beloved, seeing you know these things before, now he gives a warning. He said, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So Peter says, here, I want to warn you, be on guard, lest you be led away or leave the right path. The Church of Christ is right, regardless of what man may say or proclaim. The Church of Christ is right. That's not only the right path, that is the only path. And Peter said, guard yourself. He said, lest you fall from your own steadfastness or your faithfulness to the Lord. So how does a Christian protect themselves from erroneous teaching? As I move into my final verses, Peter closed this, my subject title. He says, for grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So I want to speak as I close this letter, Peter, that has blessed my life and hopefully bless yours, the two letters that I have been instructed on how to live as a Christian, how to correct errors, how to deal with challenges, how to deal with issues, how to deal with problems in my life through these two letters that the Holy Spirit influenced Peter to write to those of us that are Christian, not only then, but also tonight. And the answer Peter gave was to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when I talk about growing, in this case, we know what growing physically means. But spiritually, to grow means to improve spiritually. You improve spiritually through, as we talked about, we'll talk about the knowledge of the Word of God. Every day, you ought to make time to study the Word of God. It ought not be optional in your life. Every day. Where I get my encouragement from? Paul talked about the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse number 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. There ought not be a day where you don't study the Word of God. Let me encourage you. If you live any day and you don't study the Word of God, you got too much. Your life is too busy. Yeah, you need to look at your life and remove some of the things in your life when your life is too busy. You don't make time. I don't say find time. Time is not lost. When you don't make time to study the Word of God. And sometimes We need to find those areas where we have issues and challenges and shortcomings. Sometimes reach out to your preacher, reach out to your teacher that you can find. I want to study something on this particular point. I want to study on self-control. Where can I find in the scripture how to work on my, the Bible calls it temperance, which is self-control. You have to be able to do that. As I talked, Peter talked about in this letter, and I talked about self-control. But we have to grow spiritually. That's the first thing Peter identified. But he said not only spiritually grow, but he said in grace. But grow in grace. And let me share with us what grace is. Grace is, and I want to show it from the scriptures. Grace is a spiritual state of those Christians who have experienced in action the favor of God. So grace is a state in which the Christian is, where favor is coming from God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So you should be experiencing the grace of God. Experiencing the grace of God. In Romans chapter 5, note what Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, therefore, being justified, and the word justified and the word righteous has the same meaning. Being justified or being made righteous by faith, as the brother Sunday, living by faith. Faith is when we obey the will of God. We walk by faith. He says, being justified by faith. Watch this now. We have peace with God. Remember, I talked about that relationship that Peter said in verse 14, that you may be found of him in peace. See, you got that relationship with God and with man. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have peace with God if you don't have a relationship with Christ. You can't have a relationship with Christ until you be obedient to Christ. So Peter here was talking to those Christians that have become righteous by faith. By whom? Talking about Christ. Also, we have access. We have access, he says, by faith. And the word access simply means bringing into the presence of, or because of Christ, we now have permission to approach and communicate with God. And it's by faith. It's through the relationship. We're doing a very good study on Wednesday night talking about prayer. And then we dealt with the importance of prayer in last Wednesday class, and we'll build on that next week. But that's what I'm talking about. When you spend time with the Word of God, sometimes we have issues and problems with our life because we don't consult God or get the prescription from God how to get rid of some of the problems in our life. We got to take medicine. And the medicine is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. God is the one that provides us the prescription that we need to remedy a lot of our ills and ailments and issues and problems. Jesus identified himself in Matthew 9 and verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. All of us have spiritual illness in our life that we need to see the physician. That's Jesus, Dr. Jesus. Christ is the one that can remedy those spiritual ailments and some of the problems we have, some of the stresses that we go through, they can be relieved by spending some time with Jesus. We're back to Romans. I want to identify grace here. Paul said, by whom, meaning Christ, also we have access by faith. Now watch this here now. Into this grace wherein we stand. Grace is a spiritual position that we have because of the relationship we have with God. And we find favor from God because of the relationship. We can go to God in prayer. We have access to God. Yeah, that's what Paul was trying to tell them. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So that's what grace is. Grace is a favorable regard that we have because of our relationship with God, and our walk with God. And we see that, you know, back in Genesis, let me add to that. In Genesis, find the text. In Genesis, turn back there with me. Let me get there for you. Genesis, talking about Noah and his relationship with God. Genesis chapter 6, wants to see it, to see the relationship. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, talk about, but that we grow in grace, Noah found that grace. Notice in verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Now notice three things it talks about Noah in connection with the grace that he found in the eyes eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man. Just here means righteous. We become righteous and perfect. In his generation, perfect simply means mature, and the word means upright. And Noah walked with God. Noah was obedient to what God said. That's why it tells us in verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so what I'm saying to us, when we have that type of relationship with God, that we walk with God, then we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. And so I want to encourage us to have the relationship with God that Noah had with God, that we walk upright. We are a submissive and obedient to the best of our ability to the word of God. And as I said before, I want to continue to say, none of us are sinless, but as we walk with the Lord, we want to try to sin less and less. How do I do that? By getting a prescription from God that allows me to overcome those shortcomings that I have in my life. The prescription for those cures are in the Word of God. And so Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. So we've talked about grace. And I want to close with, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when I think about in knowledge, I look at 2 John chapter 2. 2 John, Paul, John's second letter. Not the gospel, but his second letter of John. In verse number 9, when I talk about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, John wrote, whosoever transgresses and abided not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Now here go the positive. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And so when I think about the knowledge of Christ, that is a seeking to know the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. If you are a member of the Church of Christ, your desire ought to be to learn and be taught as much as you can. Not only that, as Brother Brooks' message said this morning, how do we become clean? We want to teach other people. We want to teach other people the will of God, and that they can become Christians. As the Bible said, I'm talking from those that may not have been with us on this morning. Brother Brooks' message this morning was clear. In Acts 18 and verse 6, the Bible says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. That teaching says, those people that want to be taught, we want to go to them. We want to have the knowledge of the teachings and the doctrines of Christ that we can teach other people. You know, we understand this here. We can understand or learn. Notice what Paul said, Peter said, going back to his letter. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15 concerning knowledge, concerning teaching. Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, or separate the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always, not sometimes, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you and how to do it with meekness and with respect. We ought to be able to tell everybody what I did to become a Christian and why I have a reason or the hope in me of going to heaven. Because I heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I believe the gospel. I repented of my sins. I turned from the way that I was living, and I turned to Christ. That's how it begins. Repentance begins with a change of mind. We talked about that last week. And then I made the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then I was water baptized. And after my baptism, the Bible teaches me that the Lord added me to the Church of Christ. And so that's what we want to teach people. And that's the doctrine of Christ. And that's, John said, he that abided in the teachings of Christ. Yeah, well, we want to know the teachings of Christ. The Bible says, if you abide in it, you got the Father and the Son. So that's my encouragement from Peter's letter, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you've heard what I've said. How does one become a Christian? I revisit it for you as I close. How does one become a member of the Church of Christ and a child of God? Well, the teaching that we find in the Bibles in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1, because right now anyone that have not obeyed Christ is in their sins. And so Paul reminded them in Romans 6 and 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, you are experiencing God's grace. He's giving you a favor. That's the long suffering. He's patiently allowing, as the brother said in the prayer, your moments to roll on. But he says, should we continue in this grace, continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, God won't allow that to continue. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin, Christ died for sin, we die to sin, living along with therein. How do we change it? He said, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So one has to hear the gospel, one has to believe the gospel, one has to repent of their sins, one has to confess. What we find in Acts 8:37, where the eunuch, before he was baptized, he made the statement in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must make that statement. You must make that statement public. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sins. You will imitate Christ in being baptized. And then when you rise up out of water, the Bible says, should walk in the newness of life. Now you're a new person. You're a new creature in Christ. All your past sins, everything you've done before then, have been washed away by the blood of Christ, by faith that's in the water. So if we have someone that the Lord would add you to the church, Romans 16:16, the Bible tells us about, I talked about the one and only church. The Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church belongs to Christ. Belongs to Christ. So I said, why y'all call yourself Highland Heights Church of Christ? That is only the location, but the church belongs to Christ. We have in the city of Houston, we have Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Why? Because that congregation assembles in the area of Fifth Ward. Yeah, but we are the Highland Heights, or the Church of Christ at Highland Heights. That's who we are. And so the invitation extended to you. We bid you, if you want to obey the Lord and become a Christian, we've extended the invitation as we sing a song of invitation at this time. Thank you very much.